My name is Amy, and I am a child of God who has been rescued from many sins, one of which is anger. Before I jump into my story, I want to explain that I'll be trying very hard to focus on me and my anger, and less on the circumstances that caused the anger. The reason for this is because I also struggle with pride and self-righteousness. More than anything, I would like to tell you all the reasons why my anger is justified and even recruit you to somehow join with me in agreeing that the choices that I've made in my anger were understandable and maybe even acceptable. I know my anger is justified. However, I also know that many times my lack of self-discipline when I'm angry was and is sinful, and that sin has caused more pain for me and my boys in addition to the divorce itself. Ephesians 4:26 doesn't tell me not to be angry. It tells me not to sin when I am angry. Paul writes, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger." So with that understanding, I will start. I was born the youngest of three girls and was raised in an intact family. In fact, my parents will celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary this summer. Growing up, my parents were leaders in our church and community, and we had an awesome life. My parents loved me and taught me to know and love the Lord, and for that, I'm very thankful. They had high expectations and always encouraged me to do my best. Early on, I grew to find comfort in this system of thinking. I was a high achiever, enjoyed achieving success and the affirmation that accompanied my success, and strived to portray a perfect image. This way of thinking shaped the way I approached life, and this approach to life worked well for me. I achieved top awards in most things that I did. I was driven, charming, and worked very hard to develop a well-crafted world. When I went away to college, I had in mind what this next phase in life would look like. I went to a private Christian college, and a heavy unspoken pressure to find a mate there was woven into my master plan. I liked the life I was raised in, so I began dating with a purpose. The purpose of finding a man who fit the life script I had written to create my perfect family. What I wanted was not so much wrong, but the way I went about it was. Despite praying about it often, I was very definitive in what I thought life should look like. Praying to inform God of my plan, but rarely considering whether this plan was aligned to God's will for me. I assumed it must be. I wanted good things. Why wouldn't he bless it and want that for me as well? Before I completed my senior year, I was engaged to the man I would marry. He was a year older and had already started medical school here in Dallas. As soon as I graduated, I moved to Dallas. I started working for a top firm here to support us while he attended medical school. Soon after, we were married. Our early years of marriage were a roller coaster. Looking back, when I recall the moments when I felt my well-planned life was threatened, I remembered my response, and it was fear. Fear that life wouldn't turn out the way I had planned. Fear I would lose my perceived control over my life. Fear people would think my life was less than perfect. Fear of failure. For years, I repeated the same process. I would create a plan since it was at risk or threatened. Then I would become afraid. I'd create a better plan, and then I would repeat it all over again. I learned quickly that it is much more difficult to control your world when another person is involved. Nevertheless, I wanted to be in control. After about 7 years of marriage, I was faced with something I would have never expected: absolute betrayal. Years of his lies were slowly revealed. It was all beyond my control, and I was hurt more deeply than I ever knew one person could be hurt by another. I had to reevaluate. My plan was failing. and I didn't know how to fail. So I devised a better plan. I would work harder. I would try to control him better. I would clarify the script and make sure he understood the plan. Maybe I hadn't been clear. Maybe he hadn't heard me clearly. I could sprinkle in some shaming because, as we all know, that always helps. For roughly another 6 years, this was our pattern. More lies, more betrayal, and more efforts by me to control. By now, we had moved a few times, finished his medical training, opened a private medical practice, which was finally successful. We had built a new home near the country club. It was in a small town, so don't be overly impressed. We had 3 boys, and I was a stay-at-home mom. Interestingly, throughout the marriage I just described, the one that was full of lies, betrayal, control, we were also leaders in our church. I was leading ladies' Bible study, and he was a deacon. We had lots of friends with whom we shared life. We had both grown up in the church and were raised with values and a foundation in Christ. Even in the last years of my marriage, when I found myself in the deepest, darkest pit, I can still remember clinging and praying to God. At that point, my prayer had diminished to a simple cry of, God, please help me. But despite all of my hard work and planning, in February of 2007, I decided I had hung in long enough, and after about 14 years of marriage, I threw in the towel and I filed for divorce. It was total failure realized. Over the next few years, change was inevitable. I hadn't worked in about 10 years, and I needed to go back to work. There was no job market in the small town where we lived, so long story short, years before, I had visited a friend in Dallas and had gone with them to a church that they attended called Watermark. Well, I had heard about grace and authenticity, and my friend encouraged me to move to Dallas and attend Watermark. Well, after considering all my options, I actually felt led to move towards living where I could find healing and a better way. And upon making that decision, I applied for a job at my former employer, and within 2 weeks, I started a new job, and I moved my 3 boys, ages 9, 8, and 5, to Dallas. We started attending Watermark and became active in the single-parent ministry where we felt loved, accepted, and supported. We also joined a community group where we began living life authentically with other believers. At the same time, true to my roots, I wanted to be the best ex-wife and single mom I could be. I forgave my ex and welcomed him to be a part of our lives and maintained a friendship with him that very few people understood. He followed his boys and moved to Dallas within the first year we were here, and I can say that that was the best thing he ever did. No matter how I feel about him, our boys need both their parents, and by the grace of God, their dad showed up and continues to show up. The first year of separation and divorce, anytime he would do something that hurt me, or even if my life in general had a bump, and there were a lot of those, as I'm sure you're all experiencing, I blamed him. After all, I wouldn't be dealing with the life I was living had he held up his end of the deal. There's a saying that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person dies. Well, that described me. Most of the time, I was kind towards him, but woven into my best efforts to be the best ex-wife were sporadic explosions of anger and efforts to shame him. I felt it was my job, it was my right, to make sure he never wandered too far from his place of shame. He deserved to be punished, and who better than me, the recipient of his pain, to dole it out. Solid thinking, right? Well, we functioned like that for a while, but not long after our divorce was final, he remarried. Surprisingly, this hurt. I didn't want him back, but it really did hurt that he would move on. And although I had grown in some areas of my life, the part of me that was angry, self-righteous, and full of pride had not made much progress. I thought I should be able to treat my ex as I saw fit when I was angry and didn't want to let go of any more control. And finally, he said enough. He cut all ties, all communication to me. He didn't want me in his life anymore, and as a result, he would no longer co-parent with me. He would no longer be willing to take our boys to their activities during his time. The list goes on. Sadly, this made my boy's life more difficult. I thought I had felt the deepest pain possible, but being part of the reason for more pain in my boy's life crushed me. The best way to describe me at this point was broken, but still very angry. Through a series of events, I found myself not only angry at my ex, but also angry at God. I wondered how a loving God could allow this pain in my boys and my life. I wasn't sure I could trust him. Thankfully, my amazing family and community group who surrounded me and allowed me to work through my questions, the ugly, dark anger inside of me, along with the choices that I had made, helped me understand that I am no better than my ex or anyone else, that I am a sinner who deserves death. But instead, my God, who is very kind, saved me by grace alone. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one but may boast." For years, my life was a roller coaster fueled by anger, bitterness, pride, and lack of self-discipline. When I was hurt, I often felt angry, occasionally reacting poorly, but eventually I would find my way back to the peace that God offered. As I surrender more to the will of God in my life, my reaction to the hurts I experience becomes less anger and more compassion. The amount of time it takes me to return to the place of peace becomes shorter. And I am now free to live life abundantly. I wish I could stand before you today and tell you things have been resolved between me and my ex and that I never struggle with anger. Unfortunately, I can't. But this doesn't mean that God isn't in control. In fact, at the time when I was writing this story to share with you just a few weeks ago, I received an email that would have normally derailed me and would have resulted in me responding with an angry email right back. By God's grace, today the victory is that I didn't respond in anger and hate. And for now, I will trust that that is where God has me and that's where I need to be, and I will seek to enjoy the peace that he offers in the midst of my storm, which is the only possible because of the forgiveness that I have personally received through the gospel of Christ. It's true. Hurt people hurt people. I'm also learning that because of all that I have been forgiven of, Christ commands that I forgive others as I have been forgiven. This is not natural for me, but thankfully, with God, I'm a new creation. In Ephesians 4, it says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility, gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God, be as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. In other words, true disciples of Jesus are to forgive as we've been forgiven. The other morning, I read in 1 Corinthians 10 as part of The Journey, which is an online devotional offered by Watermark, where Paul shares as a warning historical examples of God's people in rebellion to alert the reader of the folly of setting their hearts on godless things. Tonight, my hope is that someone listening to my story will hear my warning and allow Christ to change their heart and the way that they're dealing with their anger. I didn't realize how much worse my anger could make life for my boys and me. I want to encourage each of you to be an example of forgiveness, be an example of Christian love that is so incomprehensible that it causes others to stop and ask the source of your joy and power. Thank you for listening.